This is the Drop Podcast for Friday, July 10th, 2020. I'm Paul Cook. Today we'll be previewing MAW Wiffle Wars 3, which will take place tomorrow at Shiwolf Ballpark in York, Pennsylvania. This is the second MAW tournament of the shortened 2020 season, 2 weeks after opening day. I'm joined, as usual, by my brother Tim. How's it going, Tim?
It's going good. Can't wait for Saturday.
Yeah, it feels like we just played a week ago. I think that's going to continue throughout this season. We got the first three tournaments are all 2 weeks apart, and then there's just a three-week break between the third and fourth tournament. So it's going to be over before it, before it's done. I think a lot of things are going to come at us quickly. Usually we like to do a written preview for these tournaments, but just, with the tournaments happening in such quick succession, and work's been a bit of a mess recently for me, we'll do this audio instead. We'll do a podcast preview instead, but we're going to use one of the formats that I like to use for the written previews, which is basically just sort of a 5-point preview. There's probably 25-30 different stories you could come up with any of these tournaments, but we're going to go with five instead. I'll ask you, Tim, just some questions, and we'll kind of go through these five topics we got written out here. But before we get to that, just want to walk people real quickly through the tournament format for tomorrow.
So 14 teams, everyone has three pool play games. Any team that's 3-0 or 2-1 will automatically advance to the playoff system. If there's less than eight teams at 2-1 or 3-0, we will take 1-2 teams based on all the tiebreakers. Weather-wise, all over the place. Earlier this morning, it looked like it was, going to be heavy thunderstorms. Tonight looks like nothing. So who knows, but we need to start each game on time and, make sure that we have enough built in case we do get any bad weather.
Yeah, cross our fingers. It looks like it, maybe okay, but I'm sure it's going to change like a number of five times between now and Saturday morning, and you can never tell if these thunderstorms anyway. All right, so let's start off with this 5-point preview here. First topic I want to talk about is long balls. Went 6-0 to win the opening day tournament back on July 27th. So they'll be defending the 2020 MAW championship belt that they've had with them these past 2 weeks at this tournament. Now they'll be without Cam Farrow, who was really big for them last tournament, making his official long balls debut. He went 4-0, picked up six big hits. I think maybe his biggest hit was probably his leadoff single against C4 in the quarterfinals that really set the table for a big inning that culminated with Dylan Harshaw's grand slam. But without Cam, Tim, how much do you think that hurts the long balls' chances of holding on to the title?
I think the long balls are pretty deep. We didn't see Colin pitch last time. We haven't seen Sean pitch in MAW yet. Both of those guys can throw a lot of innings and, a lot of high-quality innings. Last year, Cam wasn't on this team, and the long balls still had a fantastic season. Obviously, they'd like to have him, for every tournament, but, that just can't happen all the time. I think one of the other big things is, how much Tommy Loftus pitches. I'm expecting that he'll pitch this tournament, but, it's always kind of up in the air and almost feels like kind of a game day decision.
Yeah, and I agree with that assessment. I think losing a player of the caliber of Cam is going to hurt any team, but the long balls have depth. And I think another factor, too, is there's going to be quite a few teams missing a player or two, especially compared to opening day. The Dragons will be without Rob that they had opening day. Juggernauts are down one Ben Stant. Who else? There's a few other teams that I know are missing players. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but yeah, there's several teams that I think are going to be down a player or two this tournament. So I think not having, Cam, I think some of the field's also going to even out for them, and that should help. But like you said, Colin and Sean didn't pitch last tournaments. And I know they've been pitching quite a bit in the Ridley Park Wiffle Ball League, but they're going to come in fresh. And if one of those guys can sort of have a good tournament, and if Tommy does pitch, I think they're, you know, they're set up to, they're set up well to, you know, retain.
Yep, I agree.
All right, so topic number two here. There was three teams went 0-3 on at the opening day tournament. Four Loco, the Stompers, and OG Goon Squad. Four Loco won't be here on Saturday. They will be playing the following day at the Golden Stick Yard opening day tournament. But OG Goon Squad and Stompers will be playing. Of those two teams, who do we think will make it further? Of those two teams that went 0-3 on opening day, who will make it, you know, further, and how far will they make it on Saturday?
So I'll pass that back to you to make the prediction, since I have some investment in one of the teams. But then I'll talk about a few things about both teams.
Yeah, no problem. All right, so if I had to pick one of those two teams, and I think you can make really, really good cases for both, and I probably will. But if I had to pick one of the two to go further, I'm going to go for the Stompers. I think it's really not even a Stompers versus OG Goon Squad type of thing for me. It's more just sort of I think Stompers definitely have a little more experience. They definitely have more pitching depth. I think the draws are pretty even from what I remember. I think both teams have relatively manageable draws, but I do think the Stompers draws a little bit easier. But the reason I think so, to sort of not answer this question completely, I think both of these teams are going to do better than they did on opening day. The fact that those two teams were 0-3 teams just speaks to the quality of the tournament. Goon Squad, well, both these teams have in common is they both deep in pitching. Goon Squad goes three deep. I think their roster may be a little bit different this time, but they should still be able to do that. Stompers go four deep pitching. It's, you know, for both teams, it's just a question of getting those big hits and getting them at the right time. I think the Stompers will do that on Saturday a little bit more. I think they'll get into the final eight. I'm not sure, you know, they'll make it much past that, but they, you know, they could. I could see both teams making it to the final eight pretty easily.
Yeah, the OG's Goon Squad was, you know, literally one pitch or one out away?
Yeah, one pitch. He was
one pitch away. And, you know, if they beat the Dirt Balls, they're 1-0, and who knows how their day, you know, goes. That, you know, that walk-off was definitely, you know, would be deflating to anyone.
What is it about the Goon Squad that like, what do you think their strengths are? Did you get a chance to watch them much?
No, I didn't. I saw more at the Winter Classic. What I do know is, you know, a couple of intangibles. You know, they love whiff, and they're good at it. I mean, you know, they've got a guy coming up from Sarasota. Even with the cheap flights and stuff, that still takes, you know, some dedication. And like you said, when you have a three-man roster where everyone can pitch and you can kind of navigate your way through pool play and, you know, just try to lock those two wins down, however, and then roll the dice when you get into the elimination round.
Yeah, no, like I said, that's something both the Stompers and the Goon Squad have in common. Also, you know, every guy on both of those teams, when you're not playing on the Stompers, Tim, can pitch, you know, and that's a luxury a lot of teams don't have. So I could very easily, especially with their draw, see both of those teams in the quarterfinals. So the field, moving on to topic number three now, the field for Wiffle Wars is more or less the same as it was at opening day tournament. It's a 14-team field. It was 14 teams at opening day. So it's just substituting C4 and 4 Loco for the New School Risers and the Joe Schwindlin Yawn Club. So this is a New School Risers 2020 debut. It's going to be a new look New School Risers, right?
Yep. So tomorrow it's going to be Cap, Jerry, and Chris as a three-man squad. You know, I don't like to set expectations too high, but you know, they've got two legitimately good pitchers and a third in Jerry who can give a legitimately good game. And I think what the Bruisers have lacked in the past is, you know, run production, which Cap brings them. Right. And I think Chris brings Cap, you know, some innings off on the mound so that, you know, he can unload when he needs to unload. I think this team could easily I think they could easily get to the elimination round, and I think they could potentially be a Final Four team.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really good marriage of two teams that needed certain things that the other team provides. Like you said, the Bruisers' promise always been sort of, well, it's been two things. It's been consistent pitching and then you know, run support when they do get the good pitching. And with Cap, and, you know, eventually later this season, you know, if his kids play, they'll get a little more run support, you know, there. Cap takes some of the pressure off of Chris. Chris can be a secondary pitcher and, you know, maybe match up a little bit better, maybe have a little some of the pressure off of him. And then, you know, Cap's big issue has been it's just been him pitching. We saw last year when he had his brother Jason with him, how Jason just threw one game in pool play, and then he came in relief in the championship game. But just having that little breather was enough for Cap to, you know, to make it to the finals that tournament. Yep. It's like, I mean, if they get a win out of Chris in pool play, you know, and Cap hasn't thrown since last year, yeah, I think they've got a very good chance of making a run.
Yeah, no, it'll be really interesting. And I'm interested in what they'll do with the lineup. You know, Jerry usually leads off, always led off for the Bruisers. You know, you always want to probably put your best hitter at one, but you can argue either way with Cap, Jerry, based on, you know, do you want to split the two lefties up? You know, there's a lot of stuff that you can, you know, strategically do to, you know, try to gain that little bit more of a competitive advantage.
And what's interesting, so, like, you know, they're making their debut one tournament in, and there's only four tournaments this year. But with that 10-team double elimination format for the championship this year that we're going to, just semi out of necessity, I think it means two things for the New School Risers in this first tournament. It means they could really use a good tournament, because if they have a good tournament here, they finish top four, they're kind of, you know, they're kind of sitting pretty to make that, you know, top 10 at the end of the year and get into the double elimination tournament. And then just having fewer innings on Cap's arm this year and everything else, you know, once they get in there, we saw what he did last year at the wild card tournament. He threw 30 plus innings, right? Yeah. Innings. He threw like a 12 inning game and like a 9 inning game.
Yeah. And did it you know, it was against one of the games against the Stompers. I think the other was against the Yaks.
No, nine innings against Earl too.
Oh, Earl. So with Earl, you're talking about a team with actual run production, whereas, you know, Stompers, you know, just struggle to score. And yeah, he's very, very, very valuable on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. That's gonna be a fun team to watch on Saturday. All right, so moving on to four, you brought up Earl. Let's talk about them a little bit. They were the 2019 Mid-Atlantic champions after 2 years of coming up just short, finishing second in the Mid-Atlantic Championship Tournament in 2017, and then finishing bowing out in the semifinals, losing to the Lemonheads in 2018. Last year was their year, though it didn't look like it at some points. They had to go through the wild card tournament. They barely got by the New York meets in that tournament, barely got by the Juggernauts in the semifinals, and then were seven outs away from being swept against the long balls in that best of three series before coming back. So obviously they had high expectations coming into this year. They always do. Those four guys, you know, when you see those four guys, Kenny Rogers, Connor, Jordan Robles, and Devin Torres, you see those four names together, yeah, you always expect them to win. But they bowed out in the quarterfinals at the opening day tournament. How do you see, you know, bouncing back? Is there any chance at all that they go two consecutive tournaments without making the Final Four?
Oh, yeah, there's a chance of that. I mean, this is – our game is as close to baseball as you can get. And, you know, we don't play 162 games, but right. anyone can beat anyone on any single night. You know, I think the key thing is, you know, you don't want to, it's not wise to bet against, you know, Jordan and Kenny and Soup and Devin, all four of them. And they all are bringing different skills than they brought last year. I mean, you know, Connor's really come a long way offensively. You know, Devin and Jordan are as good of a 1-2 as there is in MAW. And, you know, Kenny's hitting, you know, speaks for itself. And if he can give them a game or even, you know, just a couple of mop-up innings, you know, that'll help. So that's a poor answer from me, but, so, you know.
In addition, you know, it's rare for Earl. It's rare for those guys not to make the Final Four. What's also really rare is for Jordan Robles to go to a tournament and not pitch. But that's what happened on opening day. So as far as I know, you know, assuming he hasn't played in some – other, you know, off the wall tournament somewhere. He hasn't thrown in a fast pitch tournament since. He pitched in the Winter Classic. But yeah, he hasn't pitched in a fast pitch tournament, as far as we know, since the Winter Classic. Do you think having a fresh Jordan there gives them a little extra advantage?
I do. It would be a bigger advantage if it was a smaller team tournament in terms of wait times. Like, I definitely think Jordan will throw a pool play game, especially if it's the third game where they need the win to advance. But if this was a, you know, a 12 or a 10-man tournament and there, you know, wasn't so, you know, we had a little bit shorter wait times, I could see him, you know, throwing two games in that because with the philosophy of, hey, you know, we got to get to the elimination round and – when we get there, then we'll roll the dice with, you know, Devin and Connor and, you know, hope that the offense, you know, stands up to their opponents.
Or they could even do the opposite and they could, or not the opposite, but they could even, you know, save Jordan for the quarterfinals. Cause like that wasn't their issue last time they got to the quarterfinals, but they used, you know, Devin, they were saving Jordan for later. If Jordan had, and I don't know if Jordan has three games in him, but if he has three games in him, you know, you could use Devin and Connor in round robin, you know, maybe take that wait time a little bit better. And then just go with Jordan, you know, all throughout the quarters.
Yeah. So they're 8 o'clock against the Dirt Balls, 10 o'clock against the Waves and 1 o'clock against the Short Balls.
Pretty tangible schedule.
Yeah. It is far from the toughest matchup. And since we do our best to make sure that, you know, teams have an equal amount of sitting, you know, before playing, everyone's kind of got a schedule similar to that. But, yeah, I mean, I'd be very, very surprised if they didn't make the elimination round. And honestly, that team, you know, just gets better as the day goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they barely got ousted in the quarterfinals. It really looked like they're going to make a comeback there in the last inning against Ryan McGowrath and the Juggernauts. But, you know, they unfortunately for them, yeah, Ryan was on the mound in that inning. And besides for Jordan, he bears down, you know, better than anyone. Okay, so Earl, you know, was the best team last year in MAW the second half and, you know, throughout the playoffs. And I think we all would have, even if they didn't win the MAW championship last year, I think we all would have agreed that they were the best team in Mid-Atlantic last year. Yeah. So for the fifth and final topic, I want to talk about a team that, you know, right now can make a case of being the best team in Mid-Atlantic. And certainly if they have a good showing here can, you know, add to that resume, and that's POC. They won the Winter Classic, lost one game, 1-5. They finished second at the opening day tournament. They won four games, lost two. So, you know, they've been really good in two MAW tournaments this year. If POC reaches the championship game again, whether or not they win it, in your opinion, are they the best team in MAW currently?
Yes, except if the Long Balls beat them in the championship.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's legitimately the only way. You know, You got Costa giving you, you know, plenty of round robin innings. You know, Dan Whitener is an elite pitcher. And, you know, I really like, you know, Slater can also give some innings. You, you know, have to finagle with, you know, okay, well, let's have him, let's put him in the spots that he can excel in. And it's just an interesting group. Like, you know, Tim Beck has, you know, always since he started in 2018 at MAW, you know, kind of been a streaky hitter. And, you know, last tournament when they needed a big hit, he delivered, and that the team kind of, you know, it felt like they feeded, you know, off of that. And I don't know if it's a, I don't know if they'll have a fifth for this tournament, but I think they're definitely looking at trying to get another arm, just because, you know, as with baseball, you can never have enough pitching.
Yeah. And I think that is their downside. I think that's the, just that pitching depth is the one thing that could keep them from really making a run if they don't address it, which I think they are and they will. But because right now, yeah, they have to, you know, like you said, you know, Pete threw some games last year. He can throw, but he's, you know, he fits that crafty lefty archetype at this point in his career, and they haven't used him this year. It's been both at the Winter Classic and opening day, it's been exclusively Costa and Whitener. And that's a lot of innings for those guys to take. I mean, Whitener threw four straight games last tournament, you know, and playing every 2 weeks. That's a lot to ask. But yeah, I agree with your overall assessment of that. If, you know, if they make the championship game and it's any other result other than the long balls beating them, I think you have to consider them the best team currently in MAW, because the track record just speaks for itself.
Yep, yeah, definitely agree with that. So to wrap this up, let me throw something at you, and then I'll take
it. That's not how this works.
This is, you know, it's 2020, things are being done on the fly. You know, looking at the schedule, from my vantage point, it looks like the Waves, from the With His Life League, have one of the tougher schedules. They've got the Risers, they've got POC, and I think they have Earl. Yes, and they have Earl. You know, they just need, you know, one or two small things to break their way and, you know, finally get into that elimination round. And once you get that confidence up, you know, Jake Davies starting to hit, Austin Berger is as good of a pitcher, you know, as there is in MAW. And I'm not sure who else, I'm not sure exactly who else they're bringing. But like, you know, it's a hard schedule, but I think if they show up and they do well, that could really jumpstart them towards the championship on September 26th.
Yeah, I agree with that. The point you sort of made in there is basically about getting momentum and, you know, getting things sort of going your way and having that role. I think when you look at their schedule and you look at a few other team schedules, the Risers, the Stompers, I think there's maybe even a couple others. You sort of see like where, okay, if they pick up a win here, you know, that's gonna be a real confidence booster and that's gonna get them going. And like, a lot of times, you know, you got your teams like Earl and the Juggernauts, and I think you can put POC in that group now, where it doesn't really matter. If they have to face adversity, that's fine. You know, they know how to overcome it and stuff. And I'm not saying these other teams don't, but like for those other teams, I think if they, you know, if they can get a win or two early, that can really sort of propel you. I mean, we had that a lot when we played, where like it almost seems like the tougher draw we got, the better off we'd be later in the tournament, as long as we could get through that early tough draw. And I think, like, you know, if you look at the Waves, you know, if they win their first game against the Risers and they can, you know, pick up a game against Oral or POC, that's just a huge confidence booster that, like, that almost kind of makes them the favorites then once we get to the quarterfinals. You know what I mean? Because, like, they'll just be riding that momentum and they'll have that behind them. I kind of think that happened with the long balls, where they went, you know, an opening day, they went 3-0, they had the number one seed. And even though they were facing, you know, the defending three-time national champions in the quarterfinals, they already had that confidence behind them, and it kind of, you know, boosted them. And, you know, you can see a situation like that with the Waves or other teams. But yeah, I think the Waves are, you know, they got a tough draw in it, you know, this tournament. But like you said, I think they're just a couple breaks away from having a breakout tournament.
Yeah, they're right on the precipice, and it's going to happen sooner than later, whether it's Saturday or 2 weeks later in Ridley or in August, but it's coming.
Yep, I'd agree with that. All right, so any final thoughts here before we wrap up? Any information you want to get out there? Any just sort of thoughts on the day?
Just, yeah, one or two things. I'll be interested to see how the Dragons do in their second tournament. They had Rob Longeroux, who, you know, is a veteran player who was able to guide them, you know, through round robin and get them into the elimination round. They are going to have – who are they going to have as their third?
I can't remember.
Me neither. Same thing with the meets. It's not the – it's not the full New York Mets team. It's going to be Kayvon Vinley and Nate Cruz. And I think both of those teams have the potential to be a Final Four team, or they're just going to wreak havoc on a couple of teams in pool play or in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah. I think there's a story for every team here in the field, and it's going to be another interesting tournament. I really love that we're getting, you know, consistently, you know, 14 or so teams now, because that enables us to do a quarterfinals without pool play being too redundant. Yep. And I really, really like the 8 teams making the quarterfinals, or 8 plus teams. You know, we had 9 last tournament. That adds just a whole nother element where you can see a team like the Dragons, like they did on opening day, making a run once you get in there. It gives you that one extra game to all of a sudden get in the Final Four. And, you know, my guess is everything we talked about tonight, you know, none of it will come true, but there'll be a lot of other stuff, a lot of other exciting stuff that happens in its place. That seems like what it is every tournament now, where, you know, it's just there's enough competition, enough good teams, that it's just impossible to predict.
Yeah, there's no taking any games off anymore.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because I mean, even like, you know, and this is no offense to these guys, but like the Joe Schwindlin, you know, Yawn Club, you would probably put 14th. But, you know, I mean, Joe's played a lot of wiffle ball. He's, you know, he has all the tools to be a good pitcher. It's just sort of, you know, getting a little more consistency.
Maybe just getting away from Connor yelling at him all the time will be the thing that, you know, he needed. But yeah, like they're the fourth, you know, on paper they're the 14th team, but, you know, that is no disrespect to them in any way. It's just how deep things are.
Yeah, no, it's a credit to the rest of the field. And we're, you know, we say this a lot, but we probably don't say it enough. You know, we're very humbled and grateful that all these talented players, you know, seek out MAW and, you know, and want to come to these tournaments. That means a lot to us. And, you know, we try to make it worth everyone's time. And I hope we do, but Saturday should be another good one. Can't wait. Like I said, it's been, I think for both of us, it's been, you know, sort of the virus and just, you know, everything going on, you know, our different jobs and stuff. It's been kind of hectic. So it's great to have these, you know, these little diversions every 2 weeks. Just the last thing before we wrap up here is, speaking of that, just, you know, again, just I know we're hammering this a lot and people probably don't want to hear it, but, you know, please do, you know, pay attention to the safety precautions, you know, we've put out there. We're going to have hand sanitizer again. We're going to have sanitizing wipes, you know, use them. Like, you know, there's no reason not to. It just, you know, it's a little thing to, you know, sort of avert some of the risk, you know, social distance, you know, have a mask with you and use it, you know, when appropriate. Obviously playing in 91 degree weather with a mask on is not anything that should be happening, but when you don't have the mask on, just, you know, try to stay away from people, you know, spread out and stuff. You know, it's just help us out to, you know, to try to keep us as safe as possible.
Yeah, we want to run these last three tournaments in the playoffs, and you know, if we, this is an avoidable issue if we can get everyone to do the social distancing and, you know, just take those extra, you know, few precautions. I think that will end up leading to a really good day. Everybody who's a captain, there's some more information in the captain's emails about, you know, how we'd like to have tents set up and the orange zones around all the fields, and all that has to do with the social distancing as well.
Yep. Yeah. It's nothing. I don't think it's anything, you know, weighty or, you know, burdensome. Just these little things, and little things go a long way, and you know, yep, we're all just trying to figure this out. That stuff aside, it should be a great day. We're going to find out whether the long balls will hold on to the MAW championship belt, or whether there'll be another team taking that home after Wiffle Wars. And then just so you know, whoever takes after Wiffle Wars will have another quick turnaround 2 weeks later. We'll be in Philly for Wiffle Bash. And then 3 weeks after that, we'll close out the season August 15th in York with Backyard Brawl. The Ridley tournament already has a couple new teams in it. We're pretty excited about that. That, you know, we're kind of hoping that could be team-wise, if everything works out with both the virus and everything else, the largest field we've had. So a lot of good wiffle ball left to be played, including tomorrow. And you know, nothing else to say. It should be an exciting tournament.
Yeah, I mean, on opening day 2 weeks ago, we had two great 8 o'clock games, and tomorrow, Waves Risers at 8 and Long Balls Short Balls at 8. You know, those could really be those could really rival those first two games from 2 weeks ago. So.
And so last thing here before that reminded me, Tim, before we get out of here is, so we're going to do a similar streaming schedule to last time. We're going to 1 o'clock when the short, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you have the schedule in front of you, I think it's Short Ball Pearl.
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock on Chef.
Yeah. On Chef.
Okay. So at 1 o'clock we'll have, the Whiffs Hour again, which we tried last time and hopefully can improve on it a little bit this time, where we'll basically bring you highlights and interviews from earlier in the day. Tim mentioned those good early pool play games. We'll have highlights of those and any other, you know, action from earlier in the day while looking in at that Earl short balls game. We'll also have during that show, during the Whiffs Hour at 1 o'clock on Facebook, we'll be doing a drawing for United Wiffle Ball of all the registered teams. So all the registered teams as of Friday evening, we'll put them in a hat, pick out a winner. That team will get an MAW prize pack, which we'll talk a little bit more about on the show. And then again, the next day, Golden Stick will be doing the same thing at their tournament. I believe that's the plan, but they'll be doing something Sunday. I don't want to lock them in anything. And then Monday on the Around the Horn show with Anthony, and I believe scheduled special guest 603 All-Stars, they'll be doing a third drawing for a Cedar Park Wiffle Ball prize pack. So, you know, tune into the Whiffs Hour on Saturday for that and all, you know, that other stuff, throughout the weekend. So that's it for us here. We'll see everyone on Saturday. And then good luck to everyone on Sunday. I know a lot of the same players are playing in the Golden Stick opening day tournament. That looks to be a 24 to 30 team tournament. So that should be a ton of fun. And you know, they're running 4 weeks in a row. So a lot of great wolf ball still left to be played this year. So for Tim Cook, I'm Paul, and we'll see everyone tomorrow.